Blog Talk Radio. Nature into balance. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for putting us in balance. God, help us to walk right, talk right, do right, be right. And Father God, we ask you to increase as we decrease, God. Let this your word that goes forth, that go forth in excellence. And Lord God, we ask you again, increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our very humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our redeemer. And we are redeemed, and we say so. For one day, Lord God, we want to sit at your feet. Sit at your feet and worship you, dressed in our white robes, God. We want to be a part of your kingdom one day when it is our time and you call us home. Lord God, may we walk right and be righteous in our doings, treating others as we want to be treated, following your dictates. For we are blessed to be called children of God. In the name of our holy and divine Savior, the one who took the cross and went to the grave, took the keys of the kingdom from Hades and went home to sit on your right side. For he is right and righteous, and he is our Savior. And his name is Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning again, Mother Valerie. I turn it over to you as we are about to go into our word this morning. So get your Bibles. This is Bible study.
And good morning. Good morning, people of God.
We are coming out. Mother, we are coming out. We're coming out of Exodus chapter 7 and 8, which Mother Valerie will be reading this morning. And all I got to say is, let my people go. If you don't, you're going to regret it. Hallelujah. That's just me saying that one. But God does say, let my people go. And all we'll be also in Psalm 17, Proverbs 5, verses 15 through 20, Matthew 19, verses 1 through 30. And we will have some life lessons and life examples. So Mother Valerie, good morning, good morning. I love you to pieces. Have a great day. I'm just getting it all out before we start because I love you like that. But, you know, you have to learn how to smile. You have to learn how to laugh. You have to learn how to not take yourself so serious, for we are all sons and daughters of the Most High, and he loves us equally. So I give it over to Mother Valerie as she takes us to the throne in the Word of God. Mother Valerie.
Good morning, people of God. Good morning, Pastor. You know, I was just thankful that I was at church yesterday. I thank God that I was at church yesterday. It was the move of the Holy Ghost. And you can tell when God comes in there mightily. He started with the children, with Carolyn, and then Pastor Bridget. The Holy Ghost was just all, I mean, I know the Holy Ghost is in us when it's a special, a very special move of God. I could have stayed there all night. I mean, I could have just stayed there and just not leave. I love to go to church when it's like that and you don't want to leave. It was a special move of God at the Table of Life Ministries. Woo! God is so good. He's good all the time. But he came in like a mighty wave on everybody that participated. I said, my goodness gracious me. Oh, we. I'm coming out of Exodus 7 and 1. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I've made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you. And Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. I will harden his heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I command that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Then Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded them. So they did. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Show a miracle for yourselves,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servant, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard. He did not heed them as the Lord had said. So the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refused to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which you turn to a serpent, you shall take in your hand, and you shall say to him, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews have sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness.' But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I'll strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall turn to blood." That was the first sign, was the river turning into blood. "And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river." And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your rod, stretch out your hands over the water of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over their pools of water, that they may become blood. There shall be blood throughout the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone.' Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. Lift up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants. All the waters that was in the river was turned to blood. The fish that was in the river died. The river sank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. Blood throughout all the land of Egypt." Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard. He did not heed them as the Lord had said. Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither was his heart moved by this, so all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frog. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedrooms, on your bed, to the house of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants.'" That's the second plague. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." And so Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up, covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord." Moses said to Pharaoh, "Accept the honor of saying, 'When I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only.' So he said, 'Tomorrow, And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. And Aaron and Moses went out from Pharaoh. Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses of the courtyards and out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. So when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice, that's the third plague, throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. The Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out of the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and through your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground on which they stand. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms or flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I'll make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign should be. And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh and to his servants' house, to all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to the God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then shall they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he will command us. And so Pharaoh said, I'll let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away intercede for me. Then Moses said, indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from the servants, from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And so Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. The Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained, but Pharaoh hardened his heart. At this time also, neither would he let the people go. Pharaoh hardened his heart. He didn't let those people go. Life lesson. Exodus 8:23. I'll make a difference between my people and your people. Although Christians suffer troubles and hardships like anyone else, the Lord does make a difference between his people and those who do not believe. We may have to wait to see it, but it will come. Life lessons, Exodus 7:11. The magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. The devil is fully capable of counterfeiting some of God's miraculous works, and so blinds many people to the truth. This is why we must stay alert. The devil is a counterfeiter. Mm-hmm. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Exodus 7:5, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. God said the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord wants all the people of the earth He wants all the people of the earth to know him, his power, glory, and love, and grace, and gestures. And he wants to show the world who he is through what he does in our lives. God wants everybody to know him. You can either choose, you can make a choice. You can make a choice to obey God, or you can make a choice to obey the one that's a counterfeiter, who wants to be God, and that's Satan. So God gives you a chance, just like he gave old Jezebel. He gives you a chance to make a choice to do the right thing. And you don't have to do the right thing, but you can choose. You can choose to do the right thing. And when you do, you come out ahead. It's just a choice. And you know what? This great God, this mighty God, this awesome Yahweh, this great God, he could force you if he wanted to, but he don't. He draws us with love and kindness, love and kindness. His arms are open wide. Come, 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 come before it's too late. Before it's too late, he draws you with love, tenderness. He answers your prayers. He's a father. He's a father. And he don't want you to be rebellious. But you can be if you want to, if that's what you choose to do. It's amazing to me when I think of God. When I think of him and how he just woos us with love and draws us, lay down his life for us. Was crucified on the cross for us. He didn't have to do that, but he did it for our salvation. God is just good. He's a good God all the time. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. I mean, this is just a good lesson. It's a good
Amen.
Lesson.
Whew. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm sure Pharaoh was wanting them folks out. Because we all know there ain't nothing as nasty as a swarm of flies. Flies to me are just, even one fly is just like, ugh. And I had a car accident because of a doggone fly that got between my eyes and my glasses. So, I don't do flies. I don't like bugs, period. But flies are just an absolute gross thing to me. Ugh. I don't like flies. And I'm telling you, I was one of them fly swatter hitting folks, and now they got, it looks like a tennis racket. And when the bug, you hit it with the bug, it goes, and it zaps it. So I got a zappy bug fly swatter. Bam! And it gets mosquitoes, too. You just sit there, and you just swing it, and it gets everything. My little zappy bug killer. So, yeah, especially flies. Yeah. I'm sure Pharaoh was hoping they had a zappy bug killer back then. But you know what? When God said, do, let my people go, he was not playing. And you got to listen. And, you know, but then again, God hardened his heart because God does everything for a purpose. He does it for a purpose, and we got to remember that. And our prayer for this morning coming from Psalm 17, 1 through 7, it is a prayer of David. And I tell you this, when you cannot seem to find the words to pray, go to Psalms. Psalms is got, it has a prayer for everything. There's a prayer in the Psalm for everything you need. And as we go into prayer this morning in our Psalms, and it says, hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have proposed that my mouth shall not transgress concerning the works of men by the word of your lips. I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you for you will hear me. Oh, incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous love and kindness by your right hand. Oh, you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. God hears our prayers. David prayed. David was going through some stuff. David went through. You think about it. You are crowned, anointed king, and you cannot take your position because you are being chased down like a rabbit, like a fox, like a deer. You are being chased like you are ready for slaughter. Saul was not giving it up. So he had done wrong and had lost the kingdom, lost his anointing. He wanted to kill David. Now understand, David was the one who soothed his soul. David would come with one of his instruments and play his instrument to soothe the soul of Saul. And then what did Saul try to do? Kill him. Kill him. Didn't appreciate the blessing that God had given him to soothe his soul. So David prayed. And just like his descendants, our Savior Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus was the Christ, came from heaven, was with God at the beginning, will be with God at the end forevermore, is with us today, and has never changed. He was the same yesterday at the beginning of creation, today as our Savior, and evermore. Christ prayed. He would go into the mountains. He would go and he would pray. So why do we think we don't need prayer? I can see prayer changes all kind of things. And I'm fasting and still praying for some things in my life. I know that God can do it. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. And it says, drink water from your own cistern. You know, as on yesterday, the word that God gave me came from the commandments, the Ten Commandments, which we will get to in Exodus chapter 20. And one of the things that the word says is, thou shalt not covet. It says, drink water from your own cistern. In other words, use your own stuff. Don't be looking at somebody else's stuff. Don't be going to somebody else's well. Don't be going to somebody else's water. And it says, and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the street, let them be only for only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. And for those that needed a title this morning, the title that God gave me was this: therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.
Hallelujah.
What God has joined together, let not man separate. And what did it say, proverb this morning? Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of your youth.
Hallelujah.
Loving dear and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. But why should you, my son, be enraptured by a immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? In other words, husbands should stick and be with their own wives. Come on now. You know, we hear all churches, and I'm sorry, you know, the sin du jour is the LGBTQ, whatever their sins may be. That's what, you know, you hear pastors get in the pulpit and vilify this community and talk about them like dogs. But I tell you this, God did talk about them folks in the Bible, and I'm going to be coming to something in Matthew that makes you want to say, But then as we go into this word, I just tell you this. You know, but God talked about adultery and adulterers more than anything you can think about. He talked about them folks. But, you know, you don't hear any too many pastors preaching about adultery, do you? Because a whole lot of them are committing it. You know, we want to talk about that big old, that little speck in somebody else's eye, but we don't want to talk about that huge plank hanging out of our own. And, you know, this morning, my morning scripture that I get every day from a Bible app I have, and the scripture for this morning is, judge not lest ye be judged. We got to be careful being the judges and the jury of everybody else's sins when we're not looking at our own sinful selves, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we have to be very, very careful. But God does not play when it comes to adultery. He didn't play. Jesus didn't play. Paul didn't play. When adultery came into the mix, they did not play about talking about it. You know, all through the word of God, God talked about the adulterers. He talked about it. And he let you know, I don't play that. Adultery is in the top 10. When you come to the top 10, every time I think of sin, I put it in that box of the top 10, written by the hand of God. And God, once you get to Leviticus, it gets a little bit more stringent. Yes, it does. And we'll be going through Leviticus coming up. But I'm going to tell you, but in the top 10, originally written by God, understand, he did not play. Honor him. He said, thou shalt have no other God before me. You know, thou shalt not make any carven images. You can't worship a golden calf. You can't worship a man or a woman or anything else. You do not have idols. That is against God. Yeah, he told us that. You know, he told us, you know, to honor his day, to honor the Sabbath, and to keep it holy. He told us that. He told us to honor our parents, that we may have long life. He told us not to kill, not to steal, not to covet. You know, there's so many other things he told us in his word, that how we should act. And as we get an adultery, oh, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's right up there in the top 10. Can't do it. God don't play. We'll find it out when we get to Exodus chapter 20. We got a little bit long to get there, but we're going to get there. And when we do, it's a don't play book. It's a don't play chapter in this beautiful book that we call our basic instruction before leaving earth. It is history. It's history. And you got to pick it up. And as we go to Matthew chapter 19, which is where our title is coming from this morning, and I'm going to tell you, God don't play. It says, now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these things, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? To the nitty-gritty of it. And he answered and said to them, have you not read? Again, got to meditate on this word day and night. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Because again, where does woman come from? We didn't come out of the ground like man. God took man, formed him from the clay of the ground, and blew the breath of life into him. We didn't come that way. We came from the rib of man, which is why we are one man. We came from his body. We came from the body of man. Wait, hallelujah. That's why when women wait, and that's why it says, and a man shall find a wife and find a good thing and find favor with the Lord, because he is looking for his part. He is looking for his rib. He is looking for the better half of him. God did that. And he said this. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. For what God has joined together, let not man separate. That's why you don't go looking for him. He comes looking for you, because he's looking for his rib. He's looking for a part of himself. That's why he has to find favor with God. We don't look for a husband. A husband finds a wife. You know, if you are unmarried, it is up to the man to find the one that's his other half. Come on now. That his rib. Come on. And it said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And then Jesus had to let him know. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And divorce is a man-made thing because people act up. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except, is that exception in there, for sexual immorality, in other words, adultery, fooling around outside your marriage, doing things you don't need to do, sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. The disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. Okay, now, we know there are some doctrine and some groups of ministries that say you got to be celibate for your entire life and you can never marry. We understand that. But this is what God says. And this is something, you know, because we got this whole everything about the trans community is under attack right now of the LGBTQ plus people. The trans community is under attack. And when I read this, I prayed about it because this is what God's word says. You know, we want to get all crazy about stuff, but sometimes you got to go to the source. And I saw this, and this is what it's my highlight. It's a highlightable because it made me say, huh, Lord, did you already see some of this stuff way back then? Because this is what Jesus said. But he said to them, all cannot accept this thing, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. Bam. That's what it says. And a eunuch is someone who is, in today's vernacular, you can almost say, are trans. But it says, again, for there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mothers, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. And I thought, whoa, excuse me. It's not my word, but it's God's word. And I would love to have a theologian who, again, the trans community is all being vilified, beat down. But what is a eunuch? Let's look it up. Because God's word will get us on the right track. So we're going to look up the word eunuch. Because it is one of those things that that make you go, hmm. And, wow, God, you think of all kind of stuff. Traded man placed in charge of a harem are employed as a chamberlain in a palace. A man or boy deprived of their testes are external genitals. And it goes on to say, and what is a trans person? That is one of the definitions of a trans person. And I'm not talking in a sexual nature. I want to make sure I clarify that.
Amen.
You know, and it says this. Castration
Amen.
After sexual maturity makes the sex organs shrink and stop functioning, ending sperm formation and sexual interest and behavior. Another definition of a eunuch. And it says in the Word of God that they, some folks are born in the womb this way. So, we want to put our own things and spins on stuff. But what does God's word say? And, you know, I'm going here and it says eunuchs, castration. It says castration, human male from remote antiquity. Eunuchs were employed in the Middle East and in China in two main functions, as guards and servants in harems or other women's quarters, and as chamberlains to kings. Eunuchs were considered the most suitable guards for the many wives or concubines of a ruler. And it goes on to tell us, eunuchs functioned for advisors to the emperors of China and other places. And it said eunuchs who were emasculated voluntarily for the avoidance of sexual sin or temptation. The Christian theologians, being the most celebrated examples, have appeared in several Christian periods, basing their actions on the text of Matthew. So it tells us Christian sects of eunuchs castrated themselves and their guests in the belief that they were thereby serving God. So as we go through in our judgy sakes, talking about certain communities, we might need to go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And I'm sure there are those who would say what I just said is controversial. But it's what the Word of God says. And as
Amen.
You know, when we talked about, it wasn't Stephen. It was one of the disciples. And he came upon the eunuch. And I know who it is, but it just slipped my mind. And he was in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Sheba. And he was reading the scripture. And he told him, you know, this is what it means. And we came to that in the book of Acts. But we got to remember that eunuchs played a part in ministry. And so as we sit back and judge, because like I said, the transgender community is under attack. But what does God's word say? For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. When you hear young people say, I don't feel that I should be this or that, maybe they have a calling. And there are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who are made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Again, not talking sexual sin. Because there are those who do not care and don't want to be bothered sexually. That's not
Amen.
Their bent. Just
Amen.
They don't feel like they should be who they may have been, the eunuchs born in the womb.
Amen.
And I'm not talking women wanting to be men. I'm talking men born a particular way as far as eunuchs go. They didn't have women eunuchs in the harems are in the Bible. I'm not talking about those folks. But I'm just saying
Amen.
We need to be very careful as we judge and get in our pedestals and get in our pulpits and talk about everything and everybody, because the word of God says that there are some that were made that way in the womb. Just saying. And I know I might be controversial, not trying to be, just wanting to know what some others think of this scripture and what it means. And that's just the what God showed me. I'm not going to talk about anybody else. And then it goes on to tell us in the word. And it says, the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. I tell you this, prayer changes things when it comes to our children. I prayed with them yesterday. We, Pastor Jesse, anointed each and every one of them on the in the practice on Saturday. Each and every child went to the altar on Thursday night. Mother Valerie took a beautiful picture of our children on the altar. So I tell you, when our children pray and are prayed over, it changes the atmosphere in the church. And it says, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not, there it is, commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Don't be lying on folks. Honor your father and your mother. To love your neighbor as yourself. Six of them right there. And he said, and that's that, love your neighbor as yourself, thou shalt not covet. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. But when the young man heard that, then he went away sorrowful, but he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, surely I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. Woo, hallelujah. But with God, amen, all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you there. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, surely I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones in Revelation. Now you know who's sitting on them, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house, our brothers, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. And when we go to the life lesson, it says in Matthew 19:6, where God, our title for this morning, has joined together, let not man separate. Marriage is not merely a social convention. As many declare today, it is far more than a piece of paper. In marriage, God joins a man and a woman into a single family unit. This is what makes divorce such a tragedy. Divorce hurts children more than anything. A divorced family does not understand when you got several divorces and you got stepkids in different families. You create a conundrum of foolishness.
It is a mess. It's messy. It's a riddle. It's all over the place. Because you have this, you have these two kids that from the first marriage that are your biological kids. And then you get married again. And so these two kids now have, maybe the spouse had two kids. So those two kids now have step-siblings. And then you got kids may have been born to the couple. So the step-siblings have a sibling in between the two of them. It creates confusion. And then you two don't get along. So you go and you marry somebody else and you have another child with them. So now your children from your previous relationship have a sibling in common, another set of siblings in common. So you may have two or three sets of step kids and step children and have siblings all over the place. I've heard kids say, well, that's my sibling on my father's side, and that's my sibling on my mother's side. And it is fusion mess. It's confusing. And we are confusing our children with divorce. Divorce has messed up so many kids to the point where you have a generation that does not want to be married. You have a generation of people that would prefer just to live together and never marry because they are children of divorce and they don't want it in their life. So if we're not legally married, then maybe we'll stay together. That's a sad situation. And it goes on to say, good but not good enough. Matthew 16 through 26 verses of 19. And Matthew 19 and 6, a rich ruler went to Jesus and asked, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What he was really asking Jesus was, I've done so many good things. Haven't I done enough to earn eternal life? Like so many people, the rich young ruler was asking the wrong question. Now remember that eternal life is more than just life without end. Eternal life is also a quality of life, the life of God. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive him by faith. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who went to the cross and died for your sins in order to reconcile you to God. Colossians 1 and 20. Then the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and he is life. He is the life of God in you. Romans 8, 9 through 11. You see, the rich young ruler's emphasis was on what he could do to earn salvation. Unfortunately, this is the great deception. Eternal life cannot be earned. Galatians chapter 2, 16, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and 2 Timothy 1 and 9. Will never perform in a manner so good that God will see what we've done, approve of us, and give us eternal life. Sadly, that's the way most people approach God. Come on now. Dr. Stanley know how to preach. Of course, the real problem with the idea is that it ignores our sinful nature. We are naturally disobedient to God. Romans 7, 14 through 24. We cannot do the things God created us to do or fulfill the purposes that God wants us to fulfill apart from the life of God in us. Therefore, we disobey God and break his law. We sin. And as James 2 and 10 tells us, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one, he is guilty of all. So when people think, if I do better in a few areas of my life, surely God will accept me, they don't realize that doing better does not take care of the real problem. What is the real problem? One sin earns us a penalty of death, Romans 6 and 23. Good works cannot erase sin. That's why good works can't save us, because they can't erase the sin debt we already owe. The shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross can do that. It is Jesus' crucifixion that makes it possible for us to be forgiven our sin debt. There will never be anything else that can eliminate our death penalty. Of course, that rich young ruler believed that there was something that he could do to earn eternal life.
And that the great tragedy is that he walked away from the one person who could give it to him. Jesus, it is tragic. It's the tragic decision that so many people make in life. Friend, don't make that same mistake. Matthew 19:23, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is it hard for the rich to enter heaven? For the same reason it's hard for the strong or the bright or the politically connected. They tend to rely on their own resources. Pride keeps them from trusting God's resources. We got to trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Not acknowledge pastor, not acknowledge deacon such and such, not acknowledge the stewardess board, the deacon's board, the pastor, the priest, the father, the pope. It's acknowledging the Lord God who created everything. We got to acknowledge our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who we acknowledge above all resources. God is the one we got to trust because, again, nobody can send you to heaven or hell but God. Matthew 19:30, many who are first will be last and the last first. God loves to exalt the humble and humble the proud. Come on now. So Paul says, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, and he who give glory, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:26-31. Let me read that again. Not many wise according to the flesh, wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, and he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. We've got to be humble. So many times we get on our high horses and we are not humble and God will bring you down. We got to be so careful from acting so prideful that we forget who brought us, as they say, who brought us to the dance. Just because you became the prom queen don't mean that you don't go back with the person that brought you to the dance. We got to be very, very careful. So that is all I have this morning. If there is anyone that has a word that God has placed on your heart, push the number 1 on your phone. If it is not, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who again told you, brought us to the throne of grace on yesterday. Woo, she sung that song. Bow down and worship him. And it says this from this morning, when stepping out in faith, you will be amazed at the results. Come on now, Sister Carolyn, all up in the lesson again. It's never too late for a new beginning with God. Have a motivated Monday. And I like to say, in a new beginning with God. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. God has joined us together on his mind. We are a part of the family of God. Let nobody and nothing, not the evil one, let nothing and no one separate us from God. And if you are married, don't let anybody come into your marriage. You are one with each other as we are one with God. Have a blessed day, family. Love on somebody. Tell somebody, I love you. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, Mother Valerie and all that are listening, may God bless you and keep you. It is a wrap. And I just have one more thing. I just want to give condolences again today to the Goins family in Nashville, Tennessee, at the loss of my classmate and friend Linda Tyler Goins. Today is her homegoing ceremony, and we are asking God to watch over and bless the family. In Jesus' name, have a great day, family. It is a wrap.
A wrap. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.